Darkcast Network, bringing our indie podcasts out of the shadows. Greetings, witches and beautiful souls. Welcome to the Bell Witch Podcast, Witching in the 21st Century with me, Swales, Friendly Green Witch. This is episode 52. No, this is episode 53. That's right. And it is a delightful solitary witch episode because I am well overdue a solitary witch episode. And this one is going to be all about the sigil. I've been promising the sigil episode for quite some time. And so this is going to be the one that I've been on about, and hopefully it'll be as good as I hope it to be. But first I need to thank my amazing Patreons, because my Patreon has started having a little bit of a boom, which is just so lovely. I'm really happy that people are finding it and signing up, and I'm going to list them now. A big thank you to Juniper Berry for upgrading. That really does make me so happy. Nick MC, Amanda, Natalie, Terry, Natasha Gill, Ruth Young, Lena Lady, Jess the Cat, Michelle Hickerman, and Nancy. Thank you very much for joining me on the Bell Witch Podcast Patreon. I hope you like it here and you're enjoying the abundance of bonus content such as behind-the-scenes interviews, exclusive readouts, mini podcast episodes, poetry, etc. Also, there's assorted journal entries and What the TikToks. Although I haven't done a What the TikTok for a while. I'm a bit cross with TikTok since that clone account, they did nothing about it, so I've started to retreat away from it for a little bit, but I'm sure when I get over it myself I'll get back on there and start doing more What the TikToks. Speaking of TikTok, I actually won a competition recently, a load of ghost hunting equipment from a lovely little Kent based paranormal company called KPI. You can find them on TikTok at Kent Paranormal. Thank you so much. I was proper chuffed when I saw that I'd won on the big spinning wheelie thing that people do online. It's great. I'm one of those people that my friends say to me often, like, gosh, you win everything, you're so lucky. And I've always been that kind of lucky witch, and I thank my stars for that. I really do. Anywho, as you know, the Bell Witch Podcast is now 2 years old and I'm so excited for the future. And we've got some amazing guests lined up. It's going to be so awesome. It's amazing that I'm still going. Thou shall not pod fade. Sigils, eh? What even is a sigil? To put it simple, a sigil is a symbolic representation of an energy, an intention, a statement or a word that when activated helps manifest the energy and the state of the presence that it represents. It sends a powerful message to your own subconscious and also the spirits or the universe or the higher realms, whatever you call it. It helps to communicate your desires that you wish to manifest. And anybody can use them. It's not just a witch thing. And people do use them. I mean, when you look around and you see logos everywhere, Bluetooth logo is a fantastic example of a little hidden sigil there in commonplace of today's society. So the Bluetooth sigil is actually a mixture of two Nordic runes that represent an initial of a name from the Viking era, Nordic H and Nordic B. According to one of the engineers behind the development of Bluetooth, the name belongs to a Viking-era king with a bad tooth. So it's actually named after the 10th century king of Denmark. Don't you think that's so cool? I haven't done this for a while, but I'm going to share a soundbite because it sums it up really well and I find it so intriguing. This is from I Am David Christiansen on Instagram. And if you're on Instagram, I highly recommend you go follow David Christiansen because he's this really cool, knowledgeable, Viking-esque fella. And he's just really friendly and I learn lots from him and he's a massive inspiration of mine. So I'm proper tooting his horn. I'll link him in the show notes below and just have a listen to this soundbite. It's really cool.
This is the Bluetooth symbol, named after Harald Bluetooth. He was a 10th century Danish king, a Viking. He was known for uniting Denmark with parts of Norway, bringing them all under one single rule, one king. The Bluetooth logo is a combination of two younger Futhark runes, Hagalas representing H, and Bjarkan or Berkna as a B. Harald Bluetooth, the Bluetooth logo. Now, the symbol was created by Jim Kardach. He created this symbol because he was inspired by Harald Bluetooth, since his achievements were unifying. And this is the wireless unifying standard. And this symbol was created back in 1997. This symbol can represent how unifying technology is. So this symbol started with Harald Bluetooth uniting.
And this is an example of how the meaning behind a symbol's journey or a sigil's journey can give it power into what its directive is, the story behind it. And in this case, it's actually anchored in history, which I think gives it even more power. So yeah, it's named after a Nordic king with a bad tooth. And like all the best ideas, the guys who invented it came up with that name, catchy as it is, over a beer in the pub. So that's awesome. I like that. The word sigil derives from the Latin sigillum, meaning seal, and is also lightly related to the Hebrew singular meaning word, action, talisman. In medieval systems of ceremonial magic, a sigil was the symbol of a specific entity, like an angel or a demon or a god, whichever allowed the magician to summon and control the entity. But in modern magical systems, a sigil is often used in magical work to represent a specific intention and helps to give shape and intention to a thought form. When looking into the history of sigils, I mean, it could be an entire series of its own, to be honest. There is just so much of it. Sigil magic has been around for absolutely millennia. It is so old. And it's said that one of the first ever recorded sigils in history is from 3000 to 2000 BCE. That seems like the wrong way around to me, but that's how it's written here, so okay then. Sigils in ancient Mesopotamia. Wow, that's a big word. Among the most earliest known uses of the sigil were from the ancient civilizations of, what I've just said, dating back to around the 3rd millennium BCE. This includes Sumerian Akkadian, Babylon and Assyrian cultures. The sigils were often inscribed in amulets and talisman for protections and good fortune. The Queen of the Night Relief, a prominent example of an early sigil use, serves as evidence of these practices. Then you've got 2686 to 2181 BCE, sigils in the ancient Egypt temples and stuff. Hieroglyphics and divine energies. The Egyptians made extensive use of sigils with practices rooted in early Old Kingdom periods. Hieroglyphic symbols, potent with magical significance, were often used as sigils, spells and rituals connecting religious beliefs, magics and symbolism. The Egyptians would use them to communicate with their own deities, enhance the magic that they thought lived within the paintings of the Egyptian temples. 200 BCE to 500 CE, In the Roman period, from the 2nd century BCE to the 5th century CE, saw the incorporation of sigils into magical practices. The Greek magical papyri, or PGM, I don't even know what that means. An anthology of texts from this period showcases various symbols used in rituals and spells. In ancient Rome, the Sator Square, which is a palindromic formation, apparently, whatever that means. I'm not very good at this, I'm sorry I'm butchering it. Believed to process protective and magical properties, was frequently used as a sigil. It's one of the oldest and most famous examples of a magic square symbol. Ah, there you go. So that's the symbol that people use as a grid to create a sigil. And this is from snb.com, which is a delightful little read about early use of sigils, a brief history. There's a lot more on there if you want to go and have a read. It is a really good website for all this. And as always, I will credit my sources in the show notes below, put all the links so you can go and have a read for yourself. In Nordic mythology, runes were used as magical symbols to communicate with gods and spirits, and in Chinese culture, talisman and seals were used to protect against evil spirits and bring good fortune. Native American tribes used symbols and sigils, glyphs, in their rituals and ceremonies to connect with the spirit world. The use of sigils in different cultures highlights the universal belief in the power of the symbols to influence the physical and the spiritual realms. In the medieval Europe, sigils were employed in ceremonial magic and alchemy. And then there's a lot of evidence about sigil life as a tool of higher magic throughout history, with the magicians and the alchemists behind closed doors, and it seems to have got adopted by lower magic practitioners like me throughout the centuries. In alchemy, a word or a statement may be reduced to a single symbol, aka sigil, to use as a quick reference for a ritual. The Renaissance saw a resurge of interest in sigil magic, with scholars and magicians incorporating sigils into their rituals and experiments in alchemy. The ancient practice of transmuting base metals into gold and achieving spiritual enlightenment has a significant influence on the sigil magics. Alchemists believe that sigils and symbols held the keys to unlocking secrets of the universe and achieving personal transformations. The use of a sigil in alchemical rituals and experiments was thought to facilitate the process of inner alchemy, where the practitioner sought to purify their soul and attain spiritual perfection. And then during the 20th century, sigil magic experienced a massive revival and a boost in interest with the rise of the modern occultism that was going on with Golden Dawn and all that jazz, and publications of Gilmore's and occult texts that detailed the creation and use of sigils in magical practices. There was a method called the Spars technique used to create this method of achieving a sigil, which is a method of creating a sigil that was developed by Austin Osman Spar right around the turn of the 20th century. The method is you start with a clear statement of your desire, remove the duplicate letters and vowels, or rearrange the remaining letters into an abstract symbol. And I think back then they were very big in chaos magic circles, which scare me to death, and it's probably a good podcast episode about chaos magic, but we'll see. And so, as you can hear, the sigil has had a jolly little journey throughout the centuries, transforming on its way. Magically evolved over the centuries, adapting different beliefs and practices from its early roots in ancient civilization to modern day revivals in the occult circles. And that was a very, very brief, basic history involving sigil witchery. Just a reminder, I am not an historian. I didn't even get GCSE English, and therefore this kind of stuff is actually really out of my comfort zone and quite hard for me to process in order in the correct manner. So I've done my best. I hope it's all right for you, and I definitely invite you to have a look at the history because it is absolutely fascinating and it's absolutely massive. So it would be a right rabbit hole for you to fall down.